at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
If you're watching on YouTube, welcome to OTB AM, Ireland's home of debate, analysis, breaking news and reaction live every single morning. If you're new, please subscribe and hit the notification bell. If you're not new and you've not subscribed, well, what are you waiting for? We really appreciate your support, your comments and everything else. Andy Mitten, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. Buzzing off the end of the game. I'm tired, as my eyes probably show, and I'm in rainy Manchester.
Well, the atmosphere in the immediate 4 or 5 minutes after that was the same as any of the great European nights. And yet, I'm looking at clips from TalkSport and I'm reading papered over the cracks and I'm like, why do they want to ruin everything, Andy? Why does everybody want to ruin everything?
I think you're both right. The atmosphere was fantastic last night. Before the game, during the game, a little bit of a lull when people saw how much better Villarreal were than Manchester United. But it was very, very good atmosphere last night. And I think it was the first European game post-COVID, first one where the Red Army were in the Stretford End. And at times, frankly, the team didn't deserve that level of support. Villarreal completely outclassed United in the first half. And I was sat right next to the Villarreal bench and like 2 metres away from them, and they knew that they were completely dominant. And right in front of us was their winger just giving Diego Dalot a really, really difficult time. So when Villarreal went ahead, I wasn't surprised. I thought, oh no, here we go again. And then Manchester United got back level and then got that late winner from Cristiano Ronaldo. I think the term papering over the cracks, I think there's some legitimacy to that. Manchester United didn't play well, but got a win. Ronaldo did what Ronaldo does. I spoke to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after the game. He didn't pretend it was a good performance. I spoke to Etienne Capoue after the game. He said, well, you've got revenge there, haven't you? And he was really angry. And I'd spoken to both of those two in Gdansk after the final in May, just by chance. And the reactions were obviously extremely different then. Capoue was man of the match in Poland and he played really well last night. In fact, Villarreal played really well and I don't think they deserved to lose at all. I think a Villarreal victory would have been a fairer result.
So what's the, in your estimation, what's the actual truth about where Manchester United are at the moment? Like, the ability to pull out results is supposed to be the sign, the hallmark of a good team. Playing bad, win games. Liverpool did it in their title winning season, winning very late, very regularly, and it allowed them to build a sense of confidence. There is a significant difference in that Liverpool were a bit further down the line, you would argue, and Manchester United's difficulties in midfield were clear for everybody to see last night. But that doesn't mean they're not going the right direction, does it?
No, it doesn't. I wasn't convinced by last night and I wasn't convinced about the previous four matches where Manchester United lost three of them. And it'll take much better performances than that to win my trust, to win my confidence. And I think a lot of moderate Manchester United fans, and I went outside the ground for 2 hours before the match. I spoke to a lot of people and they had similar doubts to me. And those doubts came to the surface when Villarreal played as well as he did. I think you've got to credit them. Unai Emery, and I spoke to him after the game as well. He's an excellent manager. He always has been. That spell at Arsenal shouldn't mark or go against a brilliant managerial career. And his side were far superior. Where are Manchester United right now? Well, there is a league table to look at that, but that doesn't give me full conviction either. I think United have got a very tough run of games coming up. Ironically, when United have tough matches, they tend to get better results. And as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer quite rightly pointed out to me after the match, we've had a good start in the league, far better than in previous seasons. So even though the last couple of weeks have not been as good, Manchester United did start well, did win at Wolves away, did win at West Ham away, difficult places to win, haven't played particularly well at all, really, this season. But as Emery said to me, Manchester United have got this level of players. I think if you're just relying on individual moments of brilliance, Manchester United will come up short. And if they come up short, that's not going to be good enough.
The question that we keep asking about, particularly the in-game changes and all that kind of stuff about Solskjaer, is whether or not he sees the problems that everybody else sees. And if he does see them, is he trying to fix them? And And is there somebody in the middle of the game who he can rely on? Is Carrick articulate enough and given enough freedom? Is his football brain as big as the football brains that they're up against on a week-by-week basis, i.e. the Guardiola Brains Trust and the Klopp Brains Trust and the Thomas Tuchel Brains Trust? What's your view on that? Are there signs that they're getting better? Is there a gap there that they need to fix that maybe just somebody else in the backroom team is actually all they need?
Yeah, there have been signs. Second in the league last year shows that there have been signs. I'm not on that bench, but I speak to a lot of people. And one of them said to me at the end of last season, I've worked with lots of top managers, and trust me, Ole is very, very good. Now, he doesn't have the bank of credit that those managers you've mentioned have, because he hasn't won anything as Manchester United manager. He's won in Norway. And a few people have said to me recently, fans, look at what Tuchel did at Chelsea. And that's absolutely true. Chelsea are the European champions. Klopp built a very, very good Liverpool side. And they look to be very, very good at the moment. And I bumped into quite a few Liverpool fans yesterday returning from a Porto. And they were pretty confident, but they also said they couldn't believe how poor Porto was. We're talking here about Manchester United. Do I have concerns? Yeah, I do. I'm told that Kieran McKenna is a very good coach. You've got Mike Phelan, you've got Michael Carrick. I'm just not privy to those individual in-game decisions. Last night, actually, I thought they got it right. Edinson Cavani came on, was fantastic, but I take the general point that some of the decisions have been baffling. If we focus in on one of them, a pretty costly one, we go back to last season's Champions League at home to PSG. Fred was a walking red card, and then he got red carded. And I said, well, why didn't you bring Matic on? And it was put to me that he's just not quick enough to deal with attacking midfielders with the pace that the PSG ones have. Okay, I accept that. So why don't you go out and buy one then? Mm. And that's the issue now, because Manchester United fans are saying we need a defensive midfield player. Fred has become a little bit of a scapegoat. You can sense that opponents are pouncing on him. They think he might lose the ball. Scott McTominay's a decent player. Is he Roy Keane class? No. Will he turn into a Roy Keane class? We don't know. But there are better midfielders out there. Nemanja Matic has had a fantastic career. He's in the final chapter of that career, but he's still really trusted by the manager. And when he came on at West Ham, he set the ball up. But we're not talking about the midfielders that Chelsea have here. So that's the one area of the team I think gives the fans the most concern. And then last night, if you look at right back with Diogo Dalot, he got absolutely blitzed. He was right in front of me, and it was really difficult watching him. He got destroyed. And he played because Aaron Wan-Bissaka couldn't play because he was sent off, a silly mistake in Burn in the first game. So right back was another area and is another area that Manchester United were looking at. They tried to sign Kieran Trippier. They understood that Trippier wanted to join United, but Atletico didn't want to sell him. And why would you if you're Atletico Madrid? He's a really good member of a title-winning team. So they will be the two areas. That said, the recruitment over the summer, it pleased everybody. There's a lot of forward talent. Cavani's coming back into the fold. Marcus Rashford will be coming back. The defence hasn't played as well so far this season. Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, they still look like the legs are in the Euros. But behind them, David De Gea has been fantastic. He was the best Manchester United player last night. And if it wasn't for David De Gea's saves, Manchester United could have been 3-0 down at halftime. That said, the Spanish attackers were out of form as well. Paco Alcacer, he did score, but he was pretty poor in the first half.
Andy, could I just ask you about a couple of points that you made there? First of all, you kind of made the comparison between United and Liverpool and how Klopp was clearly developing something, and it was always forward momentum with a young squad getting better, and maybe things have changed a little bit in the stands of Old Trafford this year, because it feels like the development, it's not over, but when you've got Cristiano Ronaldo on your team, you want to win now. And that point you make about Scott McTominay, that Manchester United fans don't know if he's going to become the next Roy Keane. He's going to be 25 in December. Like, is there a realism out there that people actually think he can become Roy Keane? Because is that not going to be like a massive vertical on his trajectory right now?
He's not going to become Roy Keane. Roy Keane was arguably one of the... Well, he was one of the best two or three central midfield players in the world in his pomp. And you know all about him in the Republic of Ireland. And I saw some of the games for his country. There's one game against Portugal. And I'm just thinking, wow, this is fantastic. It's a difficult position. United looked at a guy called Kante a few years ago and passed on him. So frustrated me when I heard that. And it is a position where Manchester United needs to strengthen looking at the team now. And it's becoming pretty obvious in each match where Manchester United's problem is. And if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had a technically superior player in that position, then maybe he would be more attack-minded. I don't know whether we get to a situation like we had a couple of years ago where United go out and spend a lot of money in January like they did with Bruno Fernandes. I suspect not, because a lot of money has been spent. United still need to move players on, and I don't have the immediate solution to Manchester United's issues in central midfield. That said, and this is the frustrating thing, I've seen those exact players be man of the match at Manchester City away, played absolutely fantastically, but taken over an average. I think Scott McTominay's got a future at Manchester United. I think he's a very good player, but sometimes you need to be even better than that if you're going to be in a really important position for a top team. And we've seen the top teams, we've seen them, the levels they're at, and Manchester United are not at that level at the moment. So short of dropping Cristiano Ronaldo back to play defensive midfield, he'd probably do that. He'd probably be the best player on the pitch even if he did that. It's an issue. We'll probably keep talking about it, and I don't have the answer for it at the moment. There is James Garner, who's a very good young player, but again, it's got to be about now. It's not got to be about someone in 2 or 3 years and he's out on loan. It's got to be about now, because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's pressure deliver this season.
I heard you say to Joe the other night that he needs to win a trophy this year, you know, and you're not making the decision on whether or not he gets the job next year. But at the moment, if they'd lost last night, every single game would have become a referendum. He's bought himself a bit of time again in qualification from this group, which now looks more likely than not, is going to buy him some time as well. So on balance, these results, while everybody can say they're paping over the cracks, they buy him time and they get him to that next transfer window in case somebody does come on the market who's a central midfielder. And I'm certainly in the camp that there's enough signs of progress, notwithstanding the fact that it's not finished, that he'll definitely, you say this, that more likely than not, he'll be the manager at the end of the season and be given the next transfer window as well.
Before the transfer window in January, we need to see whether Manchester United get out of the Champions League group stage. That, to me, is very, very important. And those 3 points last night could be vital. But if luck evens itself out in football, Villarreal will win in Spain. Manchester United have still got a lot of work to do in this group. And I don't think there's going to be one standout stellar team. It's not like the Uniteds of old where the qualifying after 5 matches, or you saw the way Barcelona dominated their groups for years and years. So I still think there's going to be some twists and turns within this group stage. United have only got 3 points. I get the point about Ollie getting time with those results, but there's still a lot of doubts about him. And it's on him now. He's got his team now. He's brought his players in. And Manchester United fans do have doubts.
Yeah, no worries. Look, we'll let you go and get that Skype. Andy, thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you.
That's Andy Mitten there from United We Stand, The Athletic and ESPN. Of course, you can read his stuff. And if you are watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe and turn on the notifications button as well.
At times, it's becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.